You are God in a physical body. You are spirit in the flesh. You are eternal life expressing itself as you. You are a cosmic being. You are all power. You are all wisdom. You are all intelligence. You are perfection. You are magnificence. You are the creator, and you're creating the creation of you on this planet.
That's the voice of Rhonda Byrne. She's an author of a best-selling book. You might have heard about it. If you've been watching Oprah Winfrey, you might have heard about it a couple of times. Or if you've walked past a bookstore without your eyes closed, you might have seen it. It's called The Secret. We're going to be doing a review of The Secret tonight on Issues Etc. with Gretchen Passantino. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Well, it sells like hotcakes. It's not only a book, it's also a DVD, or they like to call it a movie. They say that it is the secret that has been hidden for ages. It is the secret that once you learn it, the universe is your oyster. It's the secret that if you try it the way they tell you to, it will work for you every time. It's based on something they call the law of attraction. We'll find out what it is, and we'll find out what kind of a God this secret has, where Jesus fits into it, all tonight on Issues Etc. Gretchen Passantino is a regular here on the program. She's co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. Gretchen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much, Todd. I'm so glad to have the opportunity to talk about this kind of this choose-your-own-adventure religion that is becoming so popular right now. As your opening clip stated, the founder of this really does believe, or really does promote at least, that we are our own gods, we create our own reality, that truth is what we make it. It is completely and diametrically opposed to Christianity, where God is the only one who is supreme and overall, and it is to him that we owe our existence, and it is to him that we are reconciled by the death of Jesus Christ. It's not your mental imagining that creates reality. It is the God who created us and who saves us and redeems us.
Gretchen, whenever a popular book starts selling like this, Christians are attracted for some reason. Can Christians baptize the secret for their own use?
People might think that you could take some of the principles of the secret, like having an attitude of gratitude, or being thankful for things, or sharing with others so that you can have things shared with you, and say, well, yeah, it's just like Christianity. After all, the Bible even quotes two Bible verses, a parallel account from Matthew and Mark about what you sow, you will reap. But because it's put into an entirely different context or worldview, it is not the same worldview as Christianity. You cannot have a religion that says you deserve every good thing you want. You will never be judged in this lifetime or the next. You are God manifest in human form, made to perfection. You cannot join that to the religion that says, or the Christianity that says that we are created in God's image. We've fallen by our own sinfulness and willfulness against him. We are reconciled only by the death of his son, Jesus Christ. And it is by submitting and yielding to him that we are transformed, not by our thoughts, not by our imaginations, not by visualizations, and not by a DIY-type religion, but instead by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ.
Well, since you mentioned Jesus Christ, that's one of the things I'm always curious about when religious or quasi-religious books start to sell like The Secret is sold. Where does Jesus fit into this? In my reading of the book, I found Jesus mentioned once. This is Rhonda Byrne's take on Jesus and what kind of a preacher he was.
If you've been brought up to believe that being wealthy is not spiritual, then I highly recommend you read The Millionaires of the Bible series by Catherine Ponder. In these glorious books, you will discover that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and Jesus were not only prosperity teachers, but also millionaires themselves, with more affluent lifestyles than many present-day millionaires could conceive of.
What do you make of Rhonda Byrne's take on Jesus?
Well, your listeners should think about that again. Hear what she said. She said that Jesus and other major characters of the Bible were millionaires themselves with more affluent lifestyles than many present-day millionaires could conceive of. That's the only thing she says about Jesus in the whole book. It's the only mention made of Jesus in the whole DVD. Jesus is known not for dying for the sins of the world, not for sacrificing on our behalf, not for teaching that we should help other people, not for being the one who loved the world so much that he gave his life, but he's known to be a millionaire above millionaires. That tells you something about the values and the attitudes of this movement. The secret is, in my opinion, not that you can have anything you can conceive of and devise in your own mind, but that people would actually fall for something that takes the Jesus who really lived, really existed, and turns him into a quasi-millionaire.
So the advocates of the secret, I've seen them in the press, Gretchen, have been quick to say, well, you know, people, the press, have focused on the wealth and the health aspects of the secret, but it's really about a greater spiritual fulfillment. Those things are just the entree, just the attraction. This is really about being better spiritual beings. What do you make of those claims?
It is not about being better spiritual beings, because the entire focus is on the self. The secret is a self-absorbed, self-indulgent, self-aggrandizing religion. It has nothing to do with the God of the universe who created everything. The three things focused on and promised in the book are money, relationships, and material things. There is nothing in this book that tells us how to be better people, how to be socially responsible, how to be spiritually aware, how to give our lives for other people. In fact, this book is based on the premise that whatever happens in your life, you yourself have created with your own thoughts. So if you're a child born addicted to meth from your mother's meth use, you, as that infant, created that reality for yourself. If all of your family members were killed in the Rwandan Holocaust, it's because your family wanted that to happen. If you're a young woman who's been raped, brutally raped and assaulted on your way home from work, you must have wanted that or you wouldn't have created it. That is the flip side to the idea that you create your own reality. It may be, you know, if you're somebody who's making lots of money and appearing on Oprah Winfrey, Ellen DeGeneres, The Larry King Live, and a bunch of other TV shows, like Rhonda is, then it might feel good to say you create your own reality with your own ideas. But if you are a victim of the real evil, error, and badness in this world, then you have nothing other than yourself to blame.
Here's one of the contributors, and there are many, to the DVD in the book called The Secret. This one's Jack Canfield, explaining in an everyday sense how the secret works.
Decide what you want. Believe you can have it. Believe you deserve it. Believe it's possible for you. And then close your eyes every day for several minutes and visualize having what you already want and feeling the feelings of already having it. Come out of that and focus on what you're grateful for already. And really enjoy it. And then go into your day and release it to the universe and trust that the universe will figure out how to manifest it.
All right, Gretchen, with only a minute here and no more, your response to Canfield's advice.
Well, Canfield is, of course, the author of the famous Chicken Soup books, and he is one who illustrates for us the fact that in a wealthy, self-absorbed society, you can make a lot of money on practically nothing. What he's really saying is, you ought to feel good about yourself. You ought to believe that you deserve anything and everything. And if you believe that you deserve anything and everything, and if you feel good about yourself, you will create that reality for yourself. It really isn't true, but it's very, very attractive to people. What's amazing to me is that it is not true. It does not correspond to reality. It certainly does not correspond to the Bible. And yet people are willing to pay for it. It tells me something that Jack Canfield and the other quote-unquote experts quoted in this DVD and in the book are people who have made their money telling people that they can make money. You always wonder, if they're that good at making money, why are they spending all their time getting paid to tell people how to make money? They should just be making money. Mm-hmm. And what they say is, all you have to do is manifest it. You don't have to go out and do it. There's a story in the DVD and in the book about someone who used a rock to represent the things that he was grateful for.
About 15 seconds here.
Okay, he put the little rock in his pocket, and that reminded him to be grateful, which got him lots more things. Well, he talked to somebody else, told them the story. They contacted him a few months later and said, guess what? Your gratitude rock works so well that in the last 5 months we've sold over 1,000 rocks at $10 a piece, and we've raised all this money for charity.
Well, we're talking with Gretchen Pasentino about The Secret. We'll be right back.
I've known a secret for a week or two. Nobody knows, just we two. Listen, do-da-da. If you want to know a secret, do-da-da.
We're talking about the secret tonight on Issues Etc. Gretchen Pasentino is our guest. Gretchen, the second question after who is Jesus, whenever I pick up one of these books, is what kind of a God is being advocated? Most of these books that are of a quasi-religious nature say something about God or a God. Here's the closest I could find in the book, The Secret.
All that exists is the one universal mind, and there is nowhere that the one mind is not. It exists in everything. The one mind is all intelligence, all wisdom, and all perfection. And it is everything and everywhere at the same time. If everything is the one universal mind, and the whole of it exists everywhere, then it is all in you.
Sound familiar, Gretchen?
Yes, really, this kind of pantheism or panentheism is a view that God is everything and everything is God, that we ourselves are God in some sense. What's very interesting is that according to the secret is the law of attraction. That is, whatever you think of, whatever you preoccupy yourself, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, you will attract things like that. So if you have bills and you worry about your bills, you'll only get more bills. But if instead you visualize money and think about money and pretend that your bills are really money, then you'll get money. That is the law of attraction. And according to the secret, the law of attraction doesn't care whether you perceive something to be good or bad, or whether you don't want it or whether you do want it. It's just responding to your thought. Notice that that contributor, Bob Doyle, in the DVD, he says it, not he, not the mind. Going on, the law of attraction is a law of nature. It is impersonal, and it does not see good things or bad things. It is receiving your thoughts and reflecting back to you those thoughts as your life experience. The law of attraction simply gives you whatever it is you are thinking about. So God, in the sense of the all-encompassing mind or the one mind, is not personal. You cannot have a relationship with the God of the secret. The God of the secret is compared by one of the other contributors to a catalog. Just order from the catalog, you can get, or and you can get whatever you want. Another contributor compares the law or the universe to the genie in Aladdin's lamp. Tell the genie what you want, and he will give it to you and say, "What else, master?" But in another sense, the only personal aspect of this eternal law or the universe or this one mind is you yourself. So this is a, you know, goes back to the very oldest heresy, oldest sin that we see recorded in Scripture. First you have the devil wanting to be like God, to usurp his position. Then you have Adam and Eve, who chose to disobey God and say, we're going to set up our own standard of right and wrong. God said it was bad to eat of the tree of life, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, we think it's good to eat of it, so we're going to do that. We see, of course, in Isaiah 14, the king of Tyre echoing those same sins, saying, I want to be like God. And this is what we see in The Secret as well. In the DVD and also in the book, we see The Secret means that we are creators of our universe and that every wish that we want to create will manifest in our lives. You are eternal life. You are God manifested in human form, made to perfection. You are God in a physical body. You are spirit in the flesh, and you've brought other quotes up earlier in the program, too. This arrogance, this idea that in our sinful, limited, short, fairly powerless lives, we are the God of the universe, is ridiculous. And if it weren't the case that, as P.T. Barnum used to say, there's a sucker born every day, The Secret would be nothing other than a joke on some talk show.
Well, while at the same time they talk about the universe being this impersonal force, kind of a big vending machine out there, if we just know how to stimulate it or manipulate it, they also, and you pointed out earlier that they say that the universe doesn't know good or bad, didn't know any difference. Yet at one point we find the author of The Secret, Rhonda Byrne, talking this way about the universe.
This is a magnificent universe. The universe is bringing all good things to me. The universe is conspiring for me in all things. The universe is supporting me in everything I do. The universe meets all my needs immediately. know that this is a friendly universe.
It's a strange version. I couldn't help but think about this when I was listening to her. A strange version of Paul's words that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. But it's very different at the same time.
In fact, according to Rhonda Byrne and the other supporters of The Secret, good equals what makes you feel good. Emotions are the core of justice or morality or determining right and wrong in The Secret. If it makes you feel good, it is good. If it makes you feel bad, it's bad. The way to achieve transformation in your life is not to repent of your sins, not to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit to transform you, but instead to practice feeling good. This is a completely self-centered movement. It has absolutely no concept of right or wrong, of duty to God, of surrendering, yielding ourselves to his power to change us from those who are addicted to death and sin to those who are bound to Jesus Christ by what he's done for us.
Let's talk with Sue, who's waiting on the line in Green Bay, Wisconsin, listening on WEMY. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was listening to your show, and I just have a comment to make. Back in 1986, I had gotten involved in the type of thinking that's in the book, The Secret, due to Shirley MacLaine's books and a lot of other things that I would pick up after that. And the part to me that was very dangerous and devastating in my life because of it was, you know, as long as you thought everything was good, okay, fine. But when something started to go bad and something started to have problems in your life, well, then you started to begin to think that that was something you were creating as well. Anyway, I had given birth, and I had a severe postpartum depression, and I didn't know what was, you know, how much what I was doing to create this. It was very tragic. The story does not end well, and it took me a long time to overcome the damage that was done by that, and to go back to Christ again, and to see that if we could just think these things into being, then what did he die for us for? I mean, my heart is with Jesus now, and I know how far away I had strayed, and I guess I'm just very grateful that he hung in there with me. So that's my story.
All right, Sue, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Green Bay. Gretchen, your response.
Well, Sue, you are exactly why programs like this on Issues, etc. are so important. There are so many people who suffer the ravages of sin. This world is a sinful place that has been redeemed by Christ on the cross, but is not yet fully transformed. And every day we encounter the effects of sin in our lives that have nothing to do with our desire to serve God and to follow him, but with the sin that is in the world. And when we are given the horrible burden of believing it's our fault, our creation, we are the cause and we are the cure, then there is no hope. But Jesus is the one who comes to us and says, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, take my yoke, put it upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. By the love of Jesus Christ, by what he's done, we can be released from this bondage, not through our own pitiful, limited efforts, but through his infinite value of his sacrifice. God bless you for coming to Christ, for devoting your life to him, and for being willing to share with us some of the bad effects of this kind of teaching.
All right, let's hear more from the author of The Secret. We've established that we live as creatures in this universe, that much of this is our own invention, that we practice the law of attraction, whether we know it or not. Here's Rhonda Byrne on your place in the universe.
You are the most powerful magnet in the universe. You contain a magnetic power within you that is more powerful than anything in this world. And this unfathomable magnetic power is emitted through your thoughts.
Talk about, especially coming off of Sue's call from Green Bay, about what a tyranny this can become, no matter who believes this. This has a lot of affinity for word faith teaching in Christianity as well.
It certainly does. And although The Secret is fairly new, Rhonda Byrne herself says she only discovered it at the end of 2005. The principles go back, as we were talking earlier, even to some of the sinners we see in Scripture and to a lot of other earlier teachings. I think of Napoleon Hill And the person who actually inspired Rhonda Byrne, Wallace Wattler, and a lot of other teachers too. And this is the idea that everything that you think produces a feeling. And every feeling causes a cosmic change that materializes the core of that feeling. So if you think, I'm afraid, you will experience the emotion of fear, and things that you should be afraid of will materialize in your life. That's essentially the principle. Now, I put it in the negative form. Of course, to attract people to her program, she puts it in the positive form. If you think about getting rich, you will feel good and feel happy and feel rich, and then money will materialize. In fact, one of her contributors even notes in the DVD that he didn't have money, he didn't know how he was going to pay his bills, but he began to think about checks arriving spontaneously in the mail, not related to work he had done, and he began to feel good about those checks arriving in the mail, and he began to get checks in the mail. Now, what if you're someone who buys that phony program, that choose-your-own-adventure kind of creative fiction? You try it yourself, and the bill collector knocks on your door and says you're getting kicked out of your house for not paying your bills. What does that tell you about your ability, your power? You obviously have failed. You are nothing. That is the poisonous downside to this program. It's absolutely not true.
Here is a call to faith. The word faith is pretty common in The Secret, either from Rhonda Byrne or from her contributors. Here's Rhonda Byrne's call to faith.
Trust the universe. Trust and believe and have faith. I truly had no idea how I was going to bring the knowledge of The Secret onto the movie screen. I just held to the outcome of the vision. I saw the outcome clearly in my mind. I felt it with all my might. And everything that we needed to create The Secret came to us.
Gretchen, is this, her use of the word faith, does it have any commonalities with the way Scripture uses the word faith?
No. Faith for The Secret followers is a blind emotion. It's a simple mechanical process of conforming your thoughts and your feelings and therefore manifesting a new reality. Like I said, it doesn't really work, but people say that it does. But faith in the Bible is actually based on the God of the Bible who really exists, who has given us overabundant wealth of evidence and affirmation of his existence, his love, his plan of salvation, and our relationship to him in Jesus Christ. So, for example, in Hebrews chapter 11, which gives us a catalog of faithful people who had been, who had known that God was trustworthy by how he had acted in their lives, and they therefore trusted him. Certainly our faith goes beyond the evidence, but it does not go contrary to the evidence. We don't believe in spite of the truth. We believe because of the truth. So in Hebrews chapter 11, we're told that the faith that we are to have is a faith that is governed by, promoted by, and springs forth from what God has actually done in our lives.
Let's talk with George, who listens in Detroit on WDTK. Hi, George. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Thank you. I just was listening, and I am really thankful that you're talking about this. This is so important, and the woman, Gretchen, if that's her name, has such a wonderful delivery, and her phrasing is so cognitive and her comprehension, and I'm just stunned. And real quickly, I just want to say that I got divorced from a woman who was a Catholic, and I noticed that her whole family and her friends and all the people that were around us, they were infected with this philosophy. And I used to, I went through a trust nightmare and lost millions of dollars to the courts and lawyers, and it was blamed on me.
All right, before we can't go into the specifics of this, George, but I would like Gretchen's response here with just less than a minute before we take our next break.
I think it would be very easy for us to focus our attention on the deficiencies of The Secret and to be almost angry by the people who have been hurt by it. But I think we rather ought to focus more of our attention and more of our time on the wonderful answers that are in Jesus Christ. When we turn to Him, He gives us rest, He gives us security, He gives us forgiveness of sin, and He gives us the Holy Spirit who comes and dwells in us and transforms us by His power. We can be confident, as Paul said in Philippians 1:4, that He who has begun a good work in us will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Here in St. Louis, Kathy's waiting on the line. Kathy, thanks for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, thank you. I have two questions regarding this. One would be the mental health issue of it. When I hear someone having to focus and visualize and do all the things that need to be done, to me it reminds me of someone that mental health professionals would call obsessive-compulsive. And also, too, then, could you deal with that issue? And then also, would you talk about the similarities between this and maybe from what it sounds like there's similarities between this and the Hindu faith? And would you talk about those things?
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. Two good questions. Well, first of all, is it, even from a psychiatric perspective, would you say this is a healthy approach to life?
Well, no, it's not. Definitely not a healthy approach to life. I'm not a mental health professional, and I don't claim to be an expert on psychology or psychiatric issues. I do think that when we have various vulnerabilities emotionally and mentally, if we're prone to depression like our one caller, Sue, or to obsessive-compulsive disorder, as Kathy has brought up, when we buy into a system which is not biblical and therefore not true and not according to reality, it's only going to enhance or exacerbate our weakness or our vulnerability. Would not surprise me if someone who had a problem in a particular emotional area got involved with the secret and that problem actually became enhanced. I know one time years ago, I had a friend who had lots of difficulties in emotional and mental areas. And unfortunately, he bought into a system that said that it was all in his mind and that all he had to do was conceive of himself as well, conceive of himself as wealthy, conceive of himself as being able to solve all his problems, and that would work. Well, he bought into the system through a Christian program, a program that was modeled after these same human potential movement or motivational type things, Think and Grow Rich or prosperity things, but it had a veneer of Christianity. And when the directors of the Christian program asked me not to criticize the program, after all, your friend is involved in it, I said, I'll tell you what, when my friend is no longer exhibiting his problems, when he's not living in his car, when he has a full-time job, and when his bills are paid, then I'll think your program might have something. Unfortunately, not only did my friend not achieve those things, but in fact, his involvement with the program only made his problems worse and worse.
Kathy also asks about, especially in its cosmology, perhaps a connection to Buddhism or Hinduism or some other Eastern system of thought or philosophy.
Well, certainly the idea of pantheism, that is, God is everything and everything is God, and the idea that your thoughts create material reality are things that are common to Hinduism and Buddhism. In fact, Buddhism, although it is called a world religion, you don't even have to believe in the existence of a personal God. Instead, there are inexorable, impersonal principles of the universe that apply on a spiritual level as well as a material level. Because Hinduism is almost like an umbrella religion, uniting all of the various streams of Indian thought throughout the subcontinent and over many centuries, you can find a little bit of Hinduism in practically any belief you want. I mean, they've got a little bit of everything in them. Regardless of its source, whether it's from Eastern philosophy, Buddhism, Hinduism, perversions of Christianity like the Word Faith Movement or other kinds of things, what's really important to know about the secret or this law of attraction or that you can think and feel and therefore manifest reality for yourself is that it is diametrically opposed to the only true religion or the only true faith that does correspond to reality, and that is Christianity. We are saved not by any thoughts of our own, any emotions of our own, any materialization of our own. We are saved by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection on our behalf according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel as Paul defines it in 1 Corinthians 11:1-4, and it is that gospel that he says in Romans 1:16 that we're not to be ashamed of it. It alone is the power of salvation to all who believe.
Let's get a quick call here from Kansas City and Mike. Mike, thank you for being patient.
Yeah. Hi, Pastor Todd and Mrs. Pasentino. I really appreciate everything that both of you have done researching this topic and so many other topics I've heard you talk about. And let me just say I'm a Reformation Club member from Issues, etc. And the only reason I say that is because all you all who are listening, I would really encourage you to support Issues, etc. regularly, because it's a fantastic resource and it'll really help you to refine your worldview. The comment I wanted to make was I watched the Oprah Winfrey Show a couple of weeks ago, and then I also watched a program called Run's House. It's on MTV. It has features for Run DMC. I hope you all won't hold that against me, but on the Oprah Winfrey Show, she had two guests that I thought were very interesting. One was the Miss USA 2007, who credited The Secret and the Laws of Attraction for her win this year as Miss USA. But that wasn't the one that really got me. The one that really got me was they also had Run DMC and his wife on there. And Run DMC's wife, they call him the Reverend Run, she just recently lost a child. And, you know, Lord bless her. And I hope people don't take this as I'm being critical of her or Run DMC, because I'm not. I'm being critical of The Secret here. What Run DMC's wife said on the Oprah Winfrey Show was that they decided not to grieve the loss of their child because of the laws of attraction. It would attract negative vibes to their life.
Thank you, Mike, very much. Gretchen, 30 seconds to respond.
The Christian writer Peter Kreft has a book, Making Sense of Suffering. In there, he says, it is right that we are angry and grieved at suffering, sin, and death, because it is not what God has originally intended. You cannot change reality just by a happy thought. Reality is changed only by Jesus Christ. What about the wins, people who practice The Secret and end up being Miss USA or something like that? You know, there are wins and losses in life all the time. Very few of them do we have direct control over. You can attribute your win, if that's what you want to call it, to anything you want to, but that doesn't make it the case. In actuality, the Bible tells us the rain falls on the just and the unjust, that not even a bird falls from the sky, but that the Father does not know and does not grieve and love us. We are far much more worth than that. God loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. If you want to win, that's the win that really counts.
Sue put it well when she called from Green Bay. She had fallen into this kind of thinking. This false faith is what it is. It's a false faith in a blind universe that's ready to deliver on command, or in one's abilities to manipulate the universe through your thoughts or your feelings. Boy, it's so easy to fall into that, because this is how we are naturally hardwired as sinful people to think, that we are our own God and that we are here as creators of our own reality. But she put it well when she said, if all of this is true, if I am a creator of my own reality, my own world, my own good, my own bad, my own fortune, my own fate, then what was Jesus dying for me for? Why was he hanging there, suffering, bleeding, and dying on the cross? See, here's the biggest problem with The Secret, is that it neither requires nor does it really make any place whatsoever for God's revelation of himself in the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is it a scam? Of course it is. Is it a brilliant marketing ploy and a money-making scheme on the part of those who become involved in it? Sure it is. But that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is it neither requires nor does it allow a place for the only answer there is. You see, it's not a secret. Who we are as fallen, sinful human beings is self-evident, as St. Paul says in the book of Romans, and the answer to that is no secret whatsoever. God has given us the righteousness, his own perfect righteousness, in Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, and that is not a secret. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Illness cannot exist in a body that has harmonious thoughts. know there is only perfection. And as you observe perfection, you must summon that to you. Imperfect thoughts are the cause of all humanity's ills, including disease, poverty, and unhappiness. When we think negative thoughts, we are cutting ourselves off from our rightful heritage. Declare and intend, I think perfect thoughts. I see only perfection. I am perfection.
That's Rhonda Byrne reading from her best-selling book called The Secret. It's also a DVD. We continue to review it tonight on Issues Etc. with Gretchen Passantino. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. We'll continue with your phone calls and your email. We'll hear a few more sound bites from The Secret, and we'll get Gretchen Passantino's thoughts. We welcome your thoughts, too, your comments and your questions. Gretchen Passantino is our guest, co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. Gretchen, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Todd. I think this is a very important issue for us to be discussing. In some ways, it seems like a very attractive program. It gives you a way to succeed in your life and have everything you've ever wanted. In other ways, it's very, very dangerous because it's an imitation of the gospel. It's not the true secret to success and riches, the kind of success and riches that really matter. And actually, as you often point out, there is no secret to the true solution to all of life's problems. That is a very loud proclamation of the faith that we should have in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us.
Let's talk with Matt, who's waiting in Florida. Matt, thank you for waiting and welcome. Matt, welcome to Issues Etc.
Ah, there I am. Good evening, Gretchen. I've got a nice little collection of that are awesome resources from Issues Etc. where you talk about these things, particularly some of them like the Jehovah's Witnesses ones. You have to excuse me. I've kind of lost my train of thought waiting. As I listen to this, it seems to me that this is so much like the Word Faith teachings that I can probably ask this question and probably get the answer that I'm thinking that I'm going to get. I hear it centered on people, centered on us, on me specifically, and it tells me how I can get what I want. If I read this book, am I ever going to be told how I can get something for someone else using this law of attraction?
That's a very good question, Matt. Thank you. Well, let's address both of those issues. It came up a little bit last hour. The affinity that this kind of teaching has to Word of Faith or prosperity gospel teaching within the pale of Christianity.
Well, certainly there is a portion of the book, in fact, a whole chapter dedicated to gratitude. That sounds like a very a generous thing. You know, you should be thankful for what you have. Of course, the book never says, to whom should you be thankful? But this is just seen as another mechanism to achieving what you want. And as far as giving to other people or helping other people, again, you don't give because someone is in need. You don't give because there is inequality in the world and you've been blessed in order to share. Instead, you give in order to receive back. In fact, in both the DVD and in the book, Rhonda says this, when you think you don't have enough to give, start giving. As you demonstrate faith in giving, the law of attraction will give you more to give. It's also important to remember that according to The Secret, everything that happens to you is what you have created with your own thinking, feeling, and receiving or materializing or manifesting. So for people who are starving or who are destitute or who are in physical or medical need, they are that way because they've created that for themselves. If we were to arbitrarily, according to The Secret's pattern, step in and try to alleviate that, we would be interfering with that person's own creation. When I was a young child, my family lived in India. We lived in Calcutta, and today it is a very desperate country with a lot of starving people. In the 1950s, it was even more so. And when we were there, there were actually laws and principles against charity because of the law of karma and reincarnation. In the Hindu worldview, if you are suffering in this lifetime, it is because you are paying for your own sins from a previous lifetime. If you're wealthy in this lifetime, it's because you have already expiated your own sins through previous lifetimes. They don't use the word sin, but it's the same principle in karma and reincarnation. So if I were an American living in Calcutta in the 1950s and I saw someone starving on the street and I gave to them, I would be interfering with their working out their own karmic debt. That's a horrible, horrible thing. It really teaches you not to share. And in The Secret, although it's not really Hindu-based, with the same principle that whatever you experience is what you have created for yourself, it's no wonder that there is nothing in The Secret that says that it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Let's talk with Richard in Bloomington, Indiana. Richard, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Hey, The Secret, it's all about the self. And I have a question for you. Doesn't it sound an awful lot like the theology of glory that's preached in so many American evangelical churches today?
Thank you, Richard. Well, you know, Luther has this distinction he makes, Gretchen, as you well know, between what he called the true theology of the cross and a theology of glory, which in a nutshell is kind of trying to seek God or any end whatsoever apart from the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So how do you think it fits that category of a theology of the cross, especially the theology of glory that's so popular in pop American evangelicalism?
Well, I think it's very easy to pick at other people's experiences or presentations of the gospel, and we can do so, you know, quite capably with scripture and with good theology. But let's look at it a different way. Anybody can tell you how to bake a better cake or to build a better car or to dress more presentably or to be more efficient at using your funds. But there is only one person who can save you from your sins and give you eternal life, and that is Jesus Christ. It is the case that there are Christians who know how to manage finances well. There are Christians who gain greater friendships and a more pleasant lifestyle when they join the church and they become friends with other Christians. There are all kinds of temporal, material benefits that people may experience when they become Christians or when they get involved in a Christian church. But that's not the best we have to offer. In fact, that's not any different from what any other basically humane system might offer. What we have to offer that is unique and that transcends all of that is that Jesus Christ has died for our sins. He rose again from the dead, seized the power of new life and transformation, and he has promised us a place in that kingdom if we surrender to him. It's by his death on the cross that we receive eternal life, transformation beginning now and being fulfilled in the fulfillment of his kingdom, so that anything that we have now, the better cake, the better finances, or the better friends, is practically nothing compared to the eternal life we will receive.
You know, Gretchen, I wouldn't want someone to say, well, The Secret's wrong because it just tells you the wrong way to get the same things. I wouldn't want a Christian to say, well, the real way toward all of those things promised in The Secret is to believe in Jesus Christ, because Christ doesn't promise us all of those things necessarily in this life. He, in fact, often promises his disciples hardship, persecution, enmity with the world, all sorts of things that would not be considered prosperity or blessing in this life.
In fact, in Romans chapter 8, Paul says that the rejoicing of his resurrection is inexorably tied into suffering. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together with him, he says in Romans 8:17. And then he goes on and he gives us the perspective that really does matter. Regardless of whether you might have better friends or get along with your wife better if you're the member of a church, here's what it really means to be a Christian. Paul says in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That glory comes from nothing in ourselves, nothing from the impersonal universe, nothing from some sort of a magical thinking, feeling, and manifesting. It comes from the reconciliation that God has provided in Jesus Christ. That is the true eternal life and the true blessing.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Gretchen Pasentino is our guest. We're reviewing the best-selling DVD and book called The Secret. This email comes from Jeff in McKinney, Texas. He writes, "Books like The Secret or any other New Age type writing are beneficiaries of a society containing a nearly ahistorical church." He goes on, "When we take Paul's writings, for instance, and turn them into Christian behaviorism, We forget his battles with Gnosticism and Judaic legalism. If we don't know the why behind so much of Scripture's teaching, then we don't know how to respond when those same problems crop up again. One mark of all reforms in the past has been the ability to say, we've seen this before, and here is how we deal with it. If Christians will learn our heritage and our history, we'll be able to respond to books like this with much greater clarity and authority. That's what Jeff writes. What do you say, Gretchen?
Well, amen to that. Jeff is very, very astute. We don't have to have the secret recovered. You know, that's one of the earmarks of the cults or of new religious movements that are masquerading as Christianity or masquerading as the truth. They all claim to be recovering or discovering or uncovering something that has been lost, something that is secret, something that is only known to the initiate few. In fact, the term Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means to know, and it refers to that secret knowledge. But it is not a secret, as you say so eloquently, repeatedly on this program. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a secret. It's something that was given to the church in Jesus Christ, preached by the apostles through the whole known world at that time, and has been held and proclaimed by the church in all the centuries since then. Yes, sometimes we've erred off the straight and narrow path. Sometimes we've had to be reformed. Sometimes we've had to adjust our perspective. Sometimes we've had to clarify our exposition. But the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is the power of God, and that has been proclaimed throughout all of human history, even beginning with the first promise given to Eve in Genesis chapter 3. It's no secret. It is what truly transforms the world.
Here's Nate in Austin, Texas, and he listens on KLGO. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Todd. First thing I was going to let you know, the other day I was riding along with my four-year-old listening to the show on MP3, and he spent 5 minutes saying, I want to see Jeff, I want to see Jeff.
You mean our Jeff, our beloved producer?
Yep. Your wonderful producer, Jeff.
Why does your four-year-old want to see Jeff, Nate?
I honestly do not know for sure, other than the fact that because he's been around when I've called and he's heard me say the name Jeff, but Jeff is worthy of my son's admiration.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. But the whole seeing aspect of this, Nate, I can tell you from where I'm sitting, big disappointment. Might want to keep it on that level of, you know, walking by faith and not by sight when it comes to Jeff.
Okay, well, back to the point.
Yeah, back to the point.
You know, Gretchen had mentioned the fall, and the secret just, isn't it just the same lie in a different apple? The fact that do this and you shall become as God?
Nate, thank you. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and the secret seems to feed so much into what my sinful nature wants to believe, that the universe revolves around me and wants to do nothing but make me happy about being me.
Nate, thank you so much. Good observation. Gretchen, is it just as he said, the same old lie in a different apple?
Well, yes, and he makes a very good point that false movements like this always promote giving us what we want rather than what we need. What we want is to have our every desire indulged. What we need is salvation from our desires, which are sinful, which take us away from God, the God who created us and sustains us, and that actually work against the way we were created. God created us to be fulfilled in worshiping and serving Him. That is the only way we'll be truly happy. That can only come about through Christ's death on the cross, through our justification, and then through our transformation and sanctification by submitting to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no technique or formula that is human-generated that can ever achieve that kind of a thing. As early as Adam and Eve saying, oh, God says don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but we're going to say yes, they chose their way, and they found it led only to death. When we choose God's way by His grace and His power, then we find that it leads to life.
You know what struck me as I read the book? I've read it twice in the last week, and then had to painfully listen to the better part of it in order to do the pre-production for this program, is how little veneer or how little pretense there is in the secret. On virtually every page, you could practically quote it and put it into the mouth of the serpent's temptation of Adam and Eve. It is that blatant, that completely transparent, it seems.
It is. It makes no pretense of being God-centered or self-sacrificing or dealing with recognizing and then accounting for and paying for sin. In fact, sin is not even in the book at all. It's all what you feel, what you experience, what you want, your own desires. And just going back just for a moment to the beginning part of Nate's phone call, I think what you ought to do is you ought to put a picture of Jeff and his lovely family in the Issues Etc. newsletter, and then I could put it up on the side of my refrigerator where I have the pictures of other people that I pray for every day.
Well, let me tell you
and
this.
I have a little sign on the side of the refrigerator that says KFUL.
Oh,
I pray for you guys every day. But, you know, as long as we're talking about it, let's go for a picture of you and your family too, Todd.
Okay, well, now let me say of both Jeff's family and my family, Jeff and I only bring the actual visual impact of our families down. I was going through some vacation pictures, and I noticed everyone where I appear, it's just not as good a picture as where the wife and the kids are there. They're all lovely people, and I'll say the same thing about Jeff's wife and his kids. Perfectly lovely. We only ruin the picture.
Well, print pictures of both of you and your families, and let those of us who love and appreciate your ministry remember to pray for you.
All right. Well, that's a good idea. I appreciate your prayers, too. This is Susan from Tupelo, Mississippi, and she writes this. Part of the terminology of the secret sounds like things I've heard from Scientology and Dr. Wayne Dreyer, The Power of Intention. I don't buy that the author of The Secret really believes in this as anything powerful or even helpful, but simply as a product whose time has come. So which is worse? This is what she asks. To teach a false faith or belief one actually believes in, or to simply dream up one in order to sell it. You've got less than a minute before our break.
Well, she is a reality TV show producer from Australia, and she's done programs like Loves Me, Loves Me Not, and Who Will You Marry, and other kinds of reality game show programming. So we might be a little hesitant about believing in the sincerity of her approach, but I really can't judge her heart. What I can say is whether she believes it or not, people who watch the DVD or who read the book, they believe it, and they're buying into a lie. We need to tell them the truth, which is in Jesus.
Gretchen Pasentino is our guest. We're reviewing the best-selling book and DVD called The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. And she's right. Whether Rhonda believes it or not is really immaterial. There are many out there who are buying the book and the DVD and are believing it. There are those who are showing remarkable signs of success. I think of Oprah Winfrey, who said recently on a program that when she read The Secret, she realized that this was the law of attraction that she had been living by her whole life, that this is why she, Oprah, is who she is, wealthy, powerful, and quite generous. Now, you're sitting there in the afternoon watching Oprah Winfrey when she has the author or the contributors to The Secret on her program, and she says, this is what made me what I am today. This is the way I live my life. There are a lot of people who say, well, I'd like to be just one-tenth of what Oprah Winfrey is, rich, powerful, famous, generous, whatever it may be, successful. Maybe there's something to this. And that's where it begins. Many do believe, many do give it a try. And the problem is, even if you're just dabbling in something like The Secret, you are messing with fire. Jesus says quite clearly, there is a way that seems right to a man, this is from Proverbs, and that way leads unto death. Or as Jesus does say, the road to destruction is broad, and many walk upon it. The road to eternal life is narrow, and few pass that way. Because he's talking about himself. He is that narrow way of eternal life, the only way, the only truth, the only life there is for us sinners in this world. When we come back, we'll continue our review of The Secret. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Gretchen Pasentino is our guest. We continue our review of The Secret, the best-selling book and DVD. Let's go to Denver, where Loretta is listening on KRKS. Hi, Loretta.
Hi. Hi, Todd and Gretchen. I was wondering if you could comment on two thoughts that I have. The first thought is that The Secret goes hand in hand with word of faith kind of Christianity, or name it and claim it, where we deserve everything and there's so much abundance in the universe and all we just have to do is allow God to bless us. You know, it just goes hand in hand with that. What do you think about that?
All right, Loretta, hang on the line if you would there. Gretchen, let's deal with that. You've called it, several times you've called it choose your own adventure, or pick your own adventure religion, something like that.
Oh, yeah, obviously, Todd, you didn't have kids in the 1980s who read the little mystery books that you get to a certain point in the book, and then you got to choose what would happen next. And if you chose one thing, you go to page 34. If you choose another thing, you go to page 40, and you're able to.
Yeah, my mom was reading those books to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's kind of a choose your own adventure religion, or somebody else has called it a DIY program, do it yourself. It's kind of like an urban legend money machine. It was spread primarily by the internet to begin with, and it's not true, but everybody would like to believe it, so they do. It's sort of like a money machine. But yes, it is related to the same kind of attraction that the Word Faith movement has among some Christians. You know, we are sinners. We really would like to think that it is all about us, that we're the center of the universe, that we deserve all good things and we deserve no bad things. That's why this is so attractive, whether it's presented as a quasi-Christian program like in the Word Faith movement, or it's presented as a pan-religious program as it is in The Secret. We're attracted to it not because it's true, but because we're sinners.
Loretta, you had another question?
Right, and if I could just tag one more thing onto that, and that is when the Bible discusses abundance and blessings, it doesn't talk about riches, you know, and yet we want to attach that, you know, to it immediately. So I just think that, you know, especially in the Old Testament, they would have been mortified if they thought that someday that's what we would have thought that they meant by abundance, you know.
That's a good point, Loretta. Think about it this way. Would you have more admiration and respect for a man who gave away everything that he had to help children who were born of AIDS, HIV, parents who had died and who were orphans? Or would you have more respect and admiration for a man who made $5 billion and lived in a $5 million house?
Right.
The one person has practiced the secret. The other person has given away, as Christ said.
And Loretta, you had a question regarding an occult connection?
Yes, thank you. I've noted on my studies of the occult, just from the Christian perspective, that basically, that is what the occult is telling us, is there are hidden things, and all we have to do, again, is harness them. And it's not necessarily worshiping a devil all the time. You know, like in the Satanic Bible, I don't think they talk about worshiping Satan, but they do talk about, you know, the hidden things and the blessings that we can get from this world and whatnot. I don't know if they use the word blessing, but, you know, the gain that we can make. And basically, that's what The Secret is saying.
All right, Loretta, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Denver. One of our newer listeners there at KRKS. All right, Gretchen, this you're not going to open up The Secret, and it's not going to say written by the devil or I am Satan, worship me, the prince of darkness kind of stuff?
No, as a matter of fact, many people think that Satanists believe that the devil exists and they worship him and that they believe God exists. But for most Satanists, they don't believe the devil exists and they don't believe God exists. But they are self-absorbed, self-centered, and they are into self-indulgence and self-aggrandizement. They call themselves Satanists because they see Christianity as the exact opposite of that. It is self-sacrificing. It is God-centered. It is about reconciliation with God, not about indulging our desires. And so they claim that name to show that they are distinct from Christianity, not necessarily because they believe in an actual devil or even an actual God. But that self-absorption is the same thing you see running through any false system. In one sense, you could say that Anton Sandor LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan and the author of the Satanic Bible, was a little bit more honest and upfront than The Secret. He said, no, this is not Christianity. It's diametrically opposed to Christianity. Yet The Secret says Jesus himself was a millionaire, and this is the principle that's taught in the Bible.
J.D. is listening on KQCV in Oklahoma. Hi, J.D. Thanks for waiting.
Hi.
Hi, J.D.
Hi. I just wanted to say the woman, the author of The Secret, her saying that Jesus and Abraham and Moses and all of them were millionaires was just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And her saying that millionaires today couldn't even conceive of their riches, I don't know. I just became enraged and almost wanted to punch my radio. But, I mean, honestly, how can she say that it's stuff about them from the Bible, but totally disregard the rest of the Bible and everything else Jesus ever said? Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
That's a good question, J.D. Thank you very much. Gretchen?
J.D., part of it is that she is not herself an expert on anything but herself. Actually, she says that she was at a miserable point in her life and despaired of everything as late as the end of 2005. She's kind of a Johnny-come-lately, and she says that she's researched back 3,500 years to find the secret and to build this all together. But she's not a good researcher. She's not a good expert. In fact, all of the people that she interviews and quotes as supporters in The Secret are people who are known as motivational speakers or life consultants, wealth, let's see, what one of them called himself, a wealth specialist. What in the heck is a wealth specialist? There's a feng shui master is one of the people interviewed in it. Somebody who's a personal transformation specialist. And Neil David Walsh is one of the people she interviews extensively. He claims to be able to talk to dead people. And he's been exposed as a fraud by some, you know, anti-supernaturalists. But even if he were not fraudulent, he certainly isn't Christian. She doesn't really know what she's talking about. She's never read the Bible. She doesn't understand theology. She doesn't understand doctrine. She doesn't understand the Bible. She lifted that quote from somebody else who also didn't know. So what we have is a bunch of people who are experts at making money, telling you how to make money, telling you they're right.
I was looking at the bio of one of them, Mike Dooley. This is at the back of the book. It says, Mike is not a career teacher or speaker. Instead, he's a life adventurer. He has successfully navigated both the corporate and entrepreneurial arenas. I don't know what that means. And after living and working around the world of Price Waterhouse, he founded his totally unique thoughts organization. I don't know what it means to live and work around the world of Price Waterhouse. I guess if he'd worked for them, they might just say that. And that kind of thing is through the expert testimony of this book, that these are people who have kind of been around success and made careers out of being around success.
Well, one of the people that she interviews extensively, Michael Bernard Beckwith, describes himself as a non-aligned trans-religious progressive, whatever that is. and I don't mean to make fun of these people. We certainly have an opportunity in this country to be able to make a living at whatever we're able to entice people to buy. But if you want to know about reality, if you want to know about God, if you want to know about eternal life, go to the expert, go to the master, go to Jesus Christ. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Go to the expert to find out about eternal life, eternal happiness, reconciliation with God, and our eternal destiny. Don't go to wealth specialists or non-aligned trans-religious progressives or transformation specialists.
One question before we go back to the email real quick. I couldn't find anything in this book that was of a genuinely transcendent nature. That is, this is a book that seems to be about this life and this life only. No grand promises about what The Secret can do for you beyond this mortal coil.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the clips that you played earlier talked about how you create your own reality. The only thing that's real is you and what you are experiencing. Rhonda Byrne says here, the earth turns in its orbit for you. The oceans ebb and flow for you. The birds sing for you. The sun rises and it sets for you. The stars come out for you. Every beautiful thing you see, every wondrous thing you experience is all there for you. Take a look around. None of it can exist without you. No matter who you thought you were, now you know the truth of who you really are. You are the master of the universe. You are the heir to the kingdom. You are the perfection of life. And now you know the secret.
So you shouldn't die.
Well, certainly if I am the whole show, what happened before I was born? What will happen the day after I die? Does it all cease to exist? If this life is all there is, Paul says, well, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we not die. This life is but a breath. It's but a mist on the ground. It's nothing compared to the eternity of life with God. You know, Rhonda Byrne or other people in things like this may be able to offer you a slightly better way to have an attitude or to look at your money or to relate to other people, but they cannot promise you or deliver to you eternal life. Jesus Christ does that, and he alone.
Gretchen Pasantino is our guest, co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. And we're reviewing the best-selling book and DVD called The Secret tonight. Now, you can check out Gretchen's website by going first to our website, issuesetc.org. Click links there on the left-hand side of the homepage, and you'll find a direct link to Gretchen Pasantino and Answers in Action. Our website address again, issuesetc.org. When we come back, we have 10 more minutes with Gretchen reviewing this book called The Secret. And hopefully, we'll be able to get to some more of your email as well. And then we're going to hear that final quote from the book and get Gretchen's response. Stay tuned. Well, if you keep your eye on our website this week, a little bit later in the week, we're going to be posting some resources on The Secret for you to use, including one written by our guest, Gretchen Pasantino. You'll find those resources under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a couple days. They'll be up there, issuesetc.org. This is an email from Milwaukee. Paul, who listens on WRRD, writes, in the guest's opinion, does The Secret have much of a future in this sinful world? Should the Watchmen of Zion, as issues, etc., and its followers pay long-term attention to it? Can we anticipate The Secret seminars, lecture tours, undergraduate courses, and even The Secret clubs and temples? The Secret's ideas seem simple and not original. Will Gretchen and I be able to buy the book on DVD on Amazon in 3 years for 50 cents plus shipping? Where do you think it's going, Gretchen?
I really don't know. You know, I've been in this business of analyzing challenges to the Christian faith for almost 35 years. And sometimes I make a good guess. Sometimes I'm way off base. I do know that the kind of false faith promoted in The Secret crops up over and over and over again. It's as old as the Garden of Eden, and it will crop up over and over again in the future. When people fall for this kind of thing, we need to be there with the true gospel. You know, with God's help and God's grace, we'll continue to do that. And I think that, you know, there are times when something new that's not new comes up again, and like it was with The Secret, when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, I don't want to go through that again. In fact, when your producer Jeff asked me if I had anything on it, I said, no, not yet. I'm hoping somebody else will do a really good job first so I don't have to. And then you guys twisted my arm, and here we are. But that's my flesh speaking. In my heart, I know that when people fall for something that's false, we as Christians, we've been given the truth not to clutch to our hearts, but to share with other people. So, Lord willing, issues, et cetera, and answers in action, and those who come after us will continue to present the truth of the gospel in the face of this error and many others that come after it.
Well, if it's any consolation, Gretchen, my reaction was exactly the same when this thing started popping up in the press and started selling like it did. My initial reaction was, I'm going to have to read it, and I don't want to have to read another one of these things, but that's not what it's about. It's not about whether I want to read it or not. It's about whether someone else is reading it and needs a response.
It may be old for you or me, but for the person who's hearing it for the first time and falling for it, it's new, and it's because we are Christians and we have the compassion that God has allowed us to have for other people, the compassion that he shows us, where he doesn't say, oh, no, another sinner, I'm getting tired of this. He says, oh, this is wonderful. I'm so glad you've turned to me. Here's the eternal life I've had just ready for you. He treats each one of us as individuals he loves and sent his son to die for. We can't do less with others who have questions and problems.
Gretchen, you quoted Rhonda Byrne in part before the break, last paragraph of her book, which I think is so telling the way she wraps it all up and concludes everything. Let's hear the entire quote from Rhonda Byrne herself from her best-selling book, The Secret.
The earth turns on its orbit for you. The oceans ebb and flow for you. The birds sing for you. The sun rises and it sets for you. The stars come out for you. Every beautiful thing you see, every wondrous thing you experience is all there for you. Take a look around. None of it can exist without you. No matter who you thought you were, now you know the truth of who you really are. You are the master of the universe. You are the heir to the kingdom. You are the perfection of life. And now you know the secret.
Gretchen, what do you say to that?
Well, there is only one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's Jesus Christ. Peter and John proclaimed back just a few days after Jesus' resurrection and ascension that there is no other name given under heaven whereby one might be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. I am not the center of the universe. I am not what it's all about. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about his plan of redemption. It's all about our reconciliation to God through his death on the cross for us. It may feel good for a moment to think that it's all about us, but I am so thankful and so glad it's not all about us. It's all about him. I don't have the power to save myself or anybody else. I don't have the power even to desire to turn to God. But thankfully, God didn't leave it in my hands. Thankfully, God sent his son to die for us. It's by him we're saved, not by ourselves.
If everyone in the world took Rhonda Byrne seriously and practiced the teachings in The Secret, what would the world be like?
It would be a world of self-centered, self-satisfied, self-indulgent people who would trample on anybody and everybody in their path to get what they want. It would be a world filled with sin, filled with disease and death. As a matter of fact, isn't that the world we have? And that's the world that God came to redeem and to set us free from. The transformation is coming. The kingdom is coming. Jesus has promised it and demonstrated it in his death, burial, and resurrection. But it's coming through God's intervention and God's transforming of the sinful into his kingdom. It doesn't come through The Secret or any other human-devised system.
Okay, so when someone walks up to one of our listeners with The Secret in hand and says, look, I've read this great new book called The Secret, how do we respond and how do we turn them from this false faith in self toward genuine faith in the only one who can save, Jesus Christ?
I think I would say maybe it's been a secret for Rhonda Byrne, and maybe it's something that she has just discovered. But, you know, the real answer to life is no secret at all. I've got the book that's got the answer. Would you like to explore this book, the Bible, and see the answer there? The answer is not in an impersonal universe working by inexorable laws of materialization or manifestation. The answer is in a person. That person is Jesus. He loved you, died for you, and rose again from the dead. You can have life in Jesus.
Gretchen Pasentino is a regular here on the program and co-founder of Answers in Action based in Costa Mesa, California. Gretchen, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for spending this time with us.
Well, thank you. It is a blessing to me, too. And, you know, those who are listening to Issues, etc., this is a resource that you can use, not only listening yourself, but you can tell other people to listen, too. You will always get the core of the gospel, truth from God's Word, accurate and sound theology and doctrine with Issues, etc. If you're not a supporter of Issues, etc. now, you need to be.
Gretchen, thank you. This isn't the first time we've heard this, and it isn't going to be the last time. What we've discovered is that someone moderately intelligent, relatively capable of stringing words together, who can gather a bevy of experts, produce a DVD and print a book, can make a lot of money doing it, selling just about any idea. In this case, the idea is remarkably transparent. If you ever do read The Secret, one thing you will hear echoed in again and again and again is what we so often hear from ourselves, from the world around us, from our sinful flesh, which our first parents heard from Satan himself in that temptation. You can be like God. Now, in the case of The Secret, they just simply take God out of the equation and replace him with the universe that's really just responding to you. Did you hear what Rhonda Byrne said? She said, all of this world exists for you, and none of it would exist without you. Which is contrary to what Scripture teaches, that all of this world exists for Jesus Christ, and none of it would exist without him. He's really the one who is the master of the universe. He's really the one who, by the creative force of his own word, his own ideas, his own thoughts, made everything that is. There is nothing that is that was not created by him. The Secret simply pushes Jesus out of the world and replaces Jesus with you. Now, consider this for a moment. The one who truly is master of the universe, the one around whom all the planets do genuinely orbit, the one for whom the birds do sing, the one for whom the sun does rise and the stars do shine, Jesus himself, did not simply sit there and enjoy all of this, being master of the universe, but for us and for our salvation, as we confess, came down from heaven and was born human being of the Virgin Mary and bore our sins, our rebellion against him, our hatred of him in his body on the cross for us. And he did all that for you, really, for you. And for me. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.